Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
And now, Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
We gotta take this stuff seriously as you are, because you have been forced to have to take it seriously.
This has been Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
Stu Does America.
Kamala? Nah. Kamala. Get your Kamala Namala merch at StuDoesMerch.com. Use the code STU10. You'll save 10% on your entire order. I'm going to go live on YouTube tonight as well, right after the debate coverage. I'll tell you about that in a second, but don't miss the exclusive breakdown. It's at YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Hit the bell for notifications, and I'll tell you when we go live. You don't want to miss that. Jill Savage is going to be here to tell us what to keep an eye on tonight when Trump and Kamala face off. Will Andrew Cuomo finally face accountability for his actions during COVID? Probably not, but we're going to dream about it anyway. I've got the latest for you. There's some pretty big developments in that story, but we're going to start by doing the Trump-Harris debate. We are here. It's debate night. I'm excited about it. A little nervous, but excited about it. Of course, this is a woman who's going to at least answer some questions tonight, because it has been now 75 days since she's actually done an interview. And no, the one she did with her interview buddy, Tim Walz, did not count. I want a one-on-one interview, or we keep the count going. That's how this works. We do have debate coverage tonight, and I don't think you're going to want to miss it. I think it's going to be great. It's on blazetv.com/debate. If you've never been a Blaze TV subscriber, I don't know if you know all the great stuff that we have going on here, but there's a lot of great voices. Some maybe you've never heard before. Some maybe you've seen a little bit on YouTube or whatever. They're doing even more stuff on Blaze TV. We're doing this great coverage tonight. I think you're really going to enjoy being a member. And I will say, if you don't like what the media does, if you don't like what the left is doing, one great way to help out the other side, that's the sane side of this particular conversation, is by supporting Blaze TV. Just go to blazetv.com/debate. I will tell you, there's usually some discount going on, okay? Usually, you know, they'll give you 10 bucks off here, maybe 20 bucks. Tonight, they're doing 40 bucks off. This is the most I've ever seen them do. If you want to get it for a lower price than you've ever been able to before, for a year-long membership, it's blazetv.com/debate. The promo code is debate. Some of the names on tonight's program: myself, I'll be hosting, along with Glenn Beck, Liz Wheeler, Steve Dace, Ali Beth Stuckey, Dave Landau. There's a pre-show before that I'm going to be going on as well. Jill Savage is going to be there. She's going to be on this show as well here in a little bit. You can sign up again, blazetv.com/debate. Promo code is debate. Now, it's been a weird day for Kamala Harris, because she's trying to get ready for this debate. All this seems rushed, right? Like, she, you know, for all this idea that she planned to do this, or she was able to jump in, if that's true, she did not, certainly did not plan very well. Because while she has this nomination now, and she is going to be the nominee, it appears, who knows, maybe they'll switch her out again after this debate. Maybe she'll lose so badly this time, they'll bring in Tim Walz, and then they'll throw in, I don't know, Dick Durbin, or somebody will come in. You know, I don't know. It could be around the corner at any time. You could tell they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't have any policies lined out. She ran a completely different campaign back in 2019 than she's trying to run now. And the biggest example of this is what happened with her website. Now, what's fascinating about this is she's trying to portray herself as the change candidate. How is that possible? It shouldn't be, right? But she has the media's assistance. Even though she's the sitting vice president, she can say, I'm actually going to do lots of stuff that's different, because I'm so different, and I swear I'm new, I'm young, I'm different. Just vote for me. Don't think about it. The problem with that pitch, it gets a little difficult when you do something like this. Embarrassing copy-paste plagues Harris's launch of her policy platform. Kamala Harris seems to have borrowed her policies entirely from Joe Biden. Here is the website, Harris Walz. There's finally an issues part of the website. This is brand new. I mentioned this yesterday. Is she ever going to add this? She did add it. I think it was technically on Sunday. But what happened was, she posted the page, and, you know, someone who knew coding looked at the coding here and noticed it's the same policies, and then even the name Joe Biden remained in a lot of the metadata. She just copy and pasted it, whole cloth, copy and paste it. Like if you put a link on Twitter, you know how do you put a link on there and it'll give you a little description as to what you wrote. It'll say donate to Joe Biden today. Like that's how bad it was. Just pathetic. And by the way, this is how she'll run the country too, with this sort of attention to detail. So who is the change candidate here? I don't know. Doesn't quite seem like it's the one who copy and pasted the entire platform from the person who's currently president. Doesn't seem like change to me. Copy and paste Kamala is here. And hopefully Donald Trump makes a big deal out about that tonight. I wanted to kind of go through what the debate strategy is going to be tonight. But before we get there, I want to kind of give you an outline as to why she doesn't want to answer questions about her policies. Why doesn't she want to highlight all the incredible ideas she had when she ran for president? Even Aaron Burnett on CNN was shocked about all the crazy crap she supported looking back in history. Watch this segment.
For the first time on her campaign website, a K-File investigation has uncovered, meantime, a 2019 questionnaire. And in this questionnaire, Harris laid out some much more liberal stances, among them on immigration. So in 2019, in what K-File found, she said she would cut funding to ICE, writing, quote, "Our immigrant detention system is out of control, and I believe we must end the unfair incarceration of thousands of individuals, families, and children. I was one of the first senators after President Trump was elected to advocate for a decrease in funding to ICE." Well, now, of course, she's touting the Biden administration's executive order to crack down on the border.
Let's just take immigration and look at what she said here. She said on immigration, she made this open-ended pledge to end immigrant detention. She said she supported taxpayer-funded gender transition surgeries for detained migrants. She also said she supported
taxpayer-funded gender transition surgeries for detained migrants. She actually said she supported that.
She wrote and answered in the affirmative when she was asked this. Oh. And she said she also supported it for federal prisoners. Now, she also pledged to slash immigration detention by 50%, close all family and private facilities, and decrease funding for ICE, and then the end ICE detainers with local law enforcement.
A lot of that's really disturbing. A lot of it's really bad policy. But, like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's 10% of Democrats, maybe, that would support the idea that an illegal immigrant that comes over and is detained gets government paid for gender transition surgeries. That was why Aaron Burnett was so shocked. I mean, Burnett's no conservative. In fact, she's not even a moderate Democrat. But like even she's shocked that that was supported, not necessarily supported by Kamala Harris, but that she admitted to supporting it. She actually said that? Yeah, she wrote it down and everything. This is who Kamala Harris actually is. The reason why she thought she was going to do well in 2019, other than the glowing media attention and fundraising she's really good at, is because she was so liberal, she could actually go to the left of almost everybody. And the question was, could she get to the left of Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders? Her answer to that was yes. She did get to the left of those candidates. She was the most liberal Senate that particular year before the run. That was her plan, to get to the left of all of these people, win that nomination, and then try to moderate in the general. Well, she never actually, of course, got that far. But now here she is with no votes won and in a situation where she's going to go up in a debate tonight against Donald Trump. It's in home of the of America's team, the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia gears up for Harris-Trump debate, with protests expected. Gosh, the people in Dallas hate that so much, but I love saying it. It is, they're all jacked up in Philly. They're, you know, of course, you know, going out on the streets of Philly, I don't know that it would be any different than normal. The protests have not been that big of a factor. We need to be honest about this. This is more of a show. It's a show for the donors and the extreme people on the left. They're not really doing anything. They're not really opposing Kamala Harris, but it is going on. Democratic anxiety over debate grows ahead of a Harris-Trump matchup. And that's kind of what I'd love to get what's your temperature on this? Do you have anxiety? I think if you would have told me 6 months ago there was a big debate between Trump and Harris, no worries at all. I wouldn't have been worried about that at all. Kamala Harris is not very good at this. She had her moments in earlier debates, but generally speaking, is not particularly good on her feet and probably will get destroyed by Donald Trump, who is very, I mean, like, they're... She, Donald Trump is not well designed for a Kamala Harris type of candidate. Kamala Harris, in some ways, is much better going up against a person like, let's say, a Mike Pence. Mike Pence, you know, who knows his policy. He's been around for a long time. He's very, you know, he's got a style about him, and very kind of stodgy and not necessarily someone who's going to give you a surprise answer. Right. That's the sort of stuff Kamala usually doesn't deal well with. I will say I'm a little more nervous about it as we get closer to it because, you know, look, it's a big moment in this campaign. Donald Trump can kind of put this away, I think, if he were to have a huge win tonight and probably sail over the next couple of months and win the election. I still think he's the slight favorite. I'm not as optimistic as some people who are predicting this on the right or even in some of the mainstream media data scientist type people. I'm not quite that optimistic, but I think he's the slight favorite here. And look, it's Kamala Harris. You should be able to beat her. I'm not going to sit here and make excuses about it. I'm not going to cry about how, oh gosh, well, this poll didn't stay open. Beat her handily. Just beat her handily. It's freaking Kamala Harris. You're handed 4 years here. You got to be able to beat Kamala Harris. You know, I say this about my team sometimes. You know, like the Eagles at the end of last year. They lost a bunch of really terrible games to bad teams to blow the division. You know what? You got to win those games. I'm not going to sit here and complain about it. Win the freaking games. Beat the Arizona Cardinals. Like, you just got to win. And if you can't win, it's kind of embarrassing. Donald Trump should be able to win tonight. And I kind of expect that he will. And I kind of expect that he'll win the election. But Kamala does have her moments. Now, the Harris team has reportedly worried that she'll be handcuffed by the debate rules that, you know, her own freaking running mate set. Now, these were totally out of the norm. It was a crazy idea to have all the mics off and no crowd and not go the presidential go through the Presidential Commission on Debates. But they decided to do that. They broke all the norms. They locked in these rules. Then they got defeated so badly their candidate had to drop out. And then they were like, well, what if we change the rules now? Well, no, that's not going to happen. You got to go by the debates rules that were sort of agreed on. That's what they wound up doing. I think there should be more debates, but who knows if that's going to occur. Now, if Trump wins tonight, they will definitely demand more debates. I don't know if Trump will take them up on that, but we will see. At the end of the day, though, this is the situation where they are going to have the, just like the last debate with Joe Biden, which Donald Trump was very, he did a good job knowing what he should do there. He knew the moment. He stayed back. He didn't go crazy. He didn't try to break through the mics. He didn't try to scream off the mic. He didn't try to interrupt Joe Biden. He let it all play out and let Joe Biden basically politically hang himself. By the way, that dangling body is still in the White House. Just wanted to let you know, still president of the United States. That's still going on. Just so you're aware. But so he went through all this and he was able to stay back. Now, what Harris wants was the mics open. And the reason why she wants them open is because she wants the moments where he's interrupting her. So she can get sort of her like feminist, oh, I can't believe a man is talking over a woman. What shall I do? It's like you're running to be president of the United States here. Get over it. OK, some people are going to talk over you. OK, deal with it. I can't believe you would do such a thing. That's what she wanted, and she's not going to get it. If you remember, this is what she's trying to recreate. This is, as I mentioned, a kind of a good matchup for Kamala Harris versus Mike Pence. This is October 7th, 2020, which, by the way, was the month that we used to do debates a lot. October, not June, not even September, really. Maybe late September, but usually in October is when these things went on. Here is a montage of all the times she tried to get her little feminist moment.
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
I have to
I'm speaking. In. Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking. I'm speaking.
It'd be important if you said the truth.
Mr. Yes. Vice President, I'm speaking. Please. I'm speaking. Okay. If you don't mind letting me finish, we can Please. Then have a conversation, okay?
Please.
Okay.
Non-answer.
I'm trying to answer you
the
now.
The American people deserve a straight answer.
I will not sit here and be lectured by the Vice President. I'm speaking. In. Yeah, I'm about to. I will not be lectured by the Vice President.
I mean, good God. It's so contrived, right? This is what she will do. She will have these contrived moments that she tries to catch Trump on something. She's got probably four or five of them she's going to go to. She went to that one over and over again because not only did she want to get it out, she wanted to get out multiple versions to see which one she liked best. It was nonsense. You're in a debate. Sometimes people talk over each other. Stop acting like it's this man versus woman thing. It's not. It's two people running for an office. Act like a freaking adult. Let's see if that happens tonight. By the way, if you think she's going to act like an adult or at least a sane candidate, you may be surprised to hear that she's been talking to Hillary Clinton about what she should do, because that worked out so well. Harris and Clinton did discuss tonight's debate. Clinton is of the belief, per a source, that, quote, baiting him into self-destruction is one of the best things that the VP could do with Trump tonight if such a moment presents itself. And that is what the best strategy for her is. You're probably not going to beat Donald Trump if you're Kamala Harris. There's not a lot of brain cells up there. But what she can do is get Trump to defeat himself. And if she can kind of goad him into saying something stupid, you know, challenging her on what color she is or whatever strategy that is, you go down that road, you're going to lose. OK, that is what she's going to try to get him to do. She's going to try to get him to blow it. And, you know, try to goad him in. And look, he's a guy who is fired up. He does not want to deal with anyone lying about him. I can understand that in that moment. You want to fire back as much as possible. He's got to be restrained. I don't know if he can do it. I think he can, but it's not going to be easy for Donald Trump. Now, let me give you another one here. This was probably her most famous debate performance. This is back in 2020. Very contrived, very scripted. The after reporting on this was that she worked on it over and over and over and over again. This is Kamala Harris talking to Joe Biden. And this is the summary I usually use of this, is she calls Biden a racist, which is what she does. But she does kind of give a little disclaimer towards the beginning of it. Here's that clip.
I'm going to now direct this at Vice President Biden. I do not believe you are a racist. And I agree with you when you commit yourself to the importance of finding common ground. But I also believe, and it's personal, and it was hurtful to hear you talk about the reputations of two United States senators who built their reputations and career on the segregation of race in this country. And it was not only that, but you also worked with them to oppose busing. And, you know, there was a little girl in California who was part of the second class to integrate her public schools. And she was bused to school every day. And that little girl was me.
What? Did M. Night Shyamalan write that one? What a twist at the end there. That was wonderful. By the way, that worked very well. It vaulted her into first place on the prediction markets, and I think it was second or third in the polling after that. Of course, that didn't last very long. Well, why didn't it last very long? Because she's not very good. She had one good moment in a debate, and the rest of it was pretty bad overall. I watched a lot of it, but the moment that maybe you might remember most is when she kind of just got dismantled by Tulsi Gabbard, who, by the way, we might want to remember this, was running as a Democrat at the time to be the Democratic nominee. She's come quite a long way. She's endorsed Donald Trump, and I like Tulsi. She's good at this, too. She's a tough opponent. She's seemingly helping Donald Trump debate as well. And look, she's already beat Kamala Harris in a debate. Here's that moment back from 2019.
I want to bring the conversation back to the broken criminal justice system that is disproportionately negatively impacting Black and brown people all across this country today. Now, Senator Harris says she's proud of her record as a prosecutor and that she'll be a prosecutor president, but I'm deeply concerned about this record. There are too many examples to cite, but she put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations and then laughed about it when she was asked if she ever smoked marijuana. She blocked evidence that would have freed an innocent man from death row until the courts forced her to do so. She kept people in prison beyond their sentences to use them as cheap labor for the state of California. And she fought to keep cash bail system in place that impacts poor people in the worst kind of way.
And she really had no good answer to that. She was like, I swear I'm tough or fair or something. And that's going to be her pitch, of course, coming up as well, not only on the border, but also on this criminal justice stuff. And it's funny because that clip now where Tulsi dismantles her is now kind of like good for her in a way, because when she's in the Democratic primary, she is trying to say, I swear I'm really light on crime. I would never punish anyone for anything, because she was trying to run to the left of everyone. And that's why that was so effective in that particular room, right? That room is filled with a bunch of people who never want to prosecute crime. And the accusation was she was absurdly tough on people who didn't even commit serious crimes. Well, now she's trying to be Prosecutor Kamala, right? Like, she's trying to say she's really tough on this. And this reputation of hers is actually somewhat helpful. I mean, I don't think it's beneficial to Donald Trump to be necessarily going after her on this particular point. But it does show that if you go after her record and you hit her with points that she's not expecting, she's got no way of pushing back on it. There's just not a lot, not enough in the brain firing to make a coherent response. She just blabs and blabs and does word salad and tries to get out of it. And that's kind of what she needs to do tonight. I want to come back in a second and talk about Donald Trump. What am I worried about with Donald Trump? What do I think he can do really well? And what do both candidates need to accomplish tonight? We'll get into that here in just a minute on Debate Night. You can't let your retirement dollars become a weapon used against everything you believe in, everything you hold dear. Do you believe in the Constitution? You're probably going to really like the people then at Constitution Wealth, because they can be your financial fortress. They can help defend you against all the attacks coming from these woke companies that want your investment dollars. This is the Patriot's choice in wealth management. Here's how Constitution Wealth works. Basically, they'll take your investment portfolio. They'll look at what you have and they'll say, well, wait a minute, you know, you're investing in Disney. Did you even know that? You don't go to their movies. You don't support them in any other way. Why do you have your money there? Why do you have your dollars sitting in Disney? There are a lot of companies that can get you good returns. Disney, honestly, lately isn't even doing that. Why don't we pull you out of that? Why don't we pull you out of this company? Why don't we pull you out of this company and put you over here? You can avoid things like gambling or, I mean, you know, if you don't like gambling, I mean, I know I'm not necessarily against it myself, but if you don't like gambling, like, you know, ESPN's running a huge gambling business right now. Do you want to be invested in Disney? There's a lot of things you want to avoid. Your investments are some of the most powerful weapons you have to fight the culture war, because you have voting shares here. Like, the direction these companies are going, you might have some left-wing investment firm that's casting those votes for you and saying, we want more woke stuff. Constitution Wealth can cure this for you. ConstitutionWealth.com, ConstitutionWealth.com/blaze. Sign up for a free consultation today. It is ConstitutionWealth.com/blaze.
Dein altes Sofa zerfällt langsam. Und die Black-Friday-Angebote sind wirklich unschlagbar. Aber dein Gehalt kommt erst Anfang des Monats. Kein Problem. Mit der PayPal-Bezahlung nach 30 Tagen. So hast du jetzt mehr Spielraum beim Bezahlen und der Betrag wird nach 30 Tagen automatisch und kostenlos von deinem Konto oder deiner Karte abgebucht. Alle Infos auf paypal.de/30 Tage. PayPal S. Vorbehaltlich Kreditwürdigkeitsprüfung verfügbar mit deutschem PayPal-Konto für Einkäufe zwischen 1 und 2.000 Euro.
So where are the danger areas for Trump tonight? I think everyone's covered, like, you know, that he might say something supposedly sexist or racist or controversial or get angry or cut the people. Like, all that stuff's been covered so much. I want to focus on one other thing. When we were going into the first debate, I had made the argument actually probably 6 months before that if I had the opportunity, if I were the Democratic king and I wanted the Democrats to win, I would trade out Kamala Harris for Joe Biden right now. And the reason why I said that is she's terrible, he's terrible, but the one thing she isn't is 81 years old, okay? And when you look at the polling, about 86% of people said that he was too old to run again. And Donald Trump had a massive advantage on that. And it was the biggest weakness of the Democrats, even more than all their policies, more than Afghanistan, more than inflation, all those things. Poll after poll after poll showed it was the age that was the biggest issue. And then, of course, the associated incoherence. Now, Kamala is also kind of incoherent. But what the reason why I said it was such a good thing for them to do, because you take something that's 86% of people are saying is really bad about your candidate and turn it into zero, right? Like, she's in her 50s. Like, you just turn it to a non-issue. But part of this, part of the analysis here, which is important to understand, is that about 50% of people said Donald Trump was too old. Now, a lot of those are Democrats who just don't like him, of course, and the same probably to be said with Republicans talking about Biden. But, like, you know, you get that number is going to be anyone who's in his 70s, that number is going to be something. Now, people look at Trump and say he's much more spry and on top of things. But now you're in a situation where Donald Trump is going up against someone in her 50s. He's now the old one. And if he appears old, if he comes out with low energy or he mumbles or he, you know, sounds a little incoherent at some point, The average person that doesn't know these two people very well, or at least doesn't know Kamala Harris, might say, yeah, she seems like she's more on top of it. He's got to avoid that. Now, let me give you an example of what he can't do, I think. Trump's Wall Street pitch was punishing tariffs, low taxes, explosive growth. This is his economic speech the other day. And it was, you know, it had some good points, some points I wasn't so in love with when it comes to the economy. But that's not what I'm talking about here. Just watch this clip. And just to give you a sense as to what his energy level was with it, he's got to avoid this. Watch.
So we're going to do things that we didn't do even the first time. We had a great presidency. There was an article written the other day that the Trump presidency was a great presidency. With victory on November 5th, which will go down as the most important day in the history of our country, inflation will be gone, our energy will be unleashed, our economy will be set free, our sovereignty will be restored, our citizens will thrive, growth will come roaring back, and America's future will be brighter than ever before.
Now, that's not the worst speech in the world. It's just boilerplate. He's obviously reading the prompter. And that's why a lot of times when he's on prompter, he kind of gets to that mode where, look, that's not Donald Trump as an old man and no energy. That's Donald Trump kind of disinterested, right? Like, it's just Trump going through the motions and giving that speech. I can't imagine he will do that tonight. He knows what's at stake here. He knows what a big night this is. But the energy level needs to be high. He needs to be that engaging Trump that we've seen throughout the years. I will be very surprised if we don't see that tonight. But that's something that he has to keep in mind. He's no longer the younger guy, the guy that's obviously younger and more spry. He's now the older guy. He's got to come up with a way of approaching this that will get the energy through and also will be able to stay on message, because that's a big thing. So what does each candidate need to know to go to do tonight? Well, Kamala, of course, needs to get Trump to say something bad. Need to get him off scripts, anti-woman, anti-POC, and then, you know, a person of color, and take advantage of that moment. Trump, he needs to have that energy. He needs to attack, but he needs to attack on the right things. Be tough and attack Kamala Harris, but attack her on the policies. Make everyone know she owns this Biden presidency. She copy and freaking pasted his website. His biggest concern is to make sure that he has that Trumpian energy and can stay on message. That's not easy, but it is something that I think is something that needs to be considered and hasn't really been talked about all that much. He needs to use those off. He's very good at knowing where he is in the moment. And like, there's a good example of him saying, you know, Hillary, well, you'd be in jail. That was like taking the moment, analyzing it. It wasn't scripted. It's off the top of his head. He was reacting in the moment, and it was a really good moment for him. Another one was when Joe Biden rambled for a bit and he said, I don't even know what he just said right there. I don't even think he knows what he just said. That was not like angry. It was just like, holy crap, where were we? He captured that moment really, really well. And Trump is very capable of doing that. He should hit her on the copy and paste thing. Copy and paste Kamala. Go after that, because this is the same candidate. Tie her to the administration. Everyone's feeling the pain of the Biden years. She is the Biden years. And he should remind people at some point, the guy took a freaking bullet for this country. He had a great line about how, you know, people are saying I'm against democracy. I took a bullet for democracy. That's a powerful thing, and he should exploit it tonight in the right moment if he can find the right moment for it. So join us tonight, blazetv.com/stu. Use the code debate. You get $40 off right now. Use the code debate. Get $40 off your subscription. We got a lot of coverage tonight. We're setting it up with Jill Savage. She's going to be hosting a Blaze News tonight as a preview to the debate. You'll watch the whole debate with us on Blaze TV. You don't need to go anywhere. You stay right with Blaze TV. And then afterwards, we'll have the post show on blazetv.com. Use the code debate there. And then, by the way, after all of it's over, late into the night, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. We'll be going live there for as long as I can speak. So join us any or all of those places and save some cash. $40 off right now with the code DEBATE.
Lust auf besonders feine Weihnachten? Erlebe einzigartigen Genuss mit Rewe Feine Welt. Diese Woche zum Beispiel Rewe Feine Welt Schweizer Käse Trüffeltraum mildwürzig, je 150 Gramm Packung, nur 3,49 Euro. Oder Rewe Feine Welt italienischer Prosciutto Crudo, roher Schinken, mit Meersalz behandelt, mindestens 18 Monate gereift, je 100 Gramm Packung nur 4,29 Euro. Festlich sparen mit Genuss. Rewe. dein Markt.
Tonight, we have debate coverage. It's going to be a lot of fun. Blaze Media presents the first presidential debate, because I think that's what this is, because it should be the second, but remember the other guy dropped out. So it's the first presidential debate. It starts tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern with a pre-show hosted by Jill Savage, who is the host of Blaze News Tonight right here on Blaze TV, part of your Blaze TV subscription. So go to blazetv.com/debate. Use the promo code debate. Get the biggest savings ever, $40 off your annual subscription to Blaze TV. A big deal. Jill, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. I'm excited for tonight. I don't really know like all the ins and outs for the evening because who can at this point in time? But I know that whatever we're going to get is actually going to be very sustaining for us for the next few weeks in this political cycle. We have 8 weeks until the actual election day. So let the games begin.
You know, I would normally agree with that, but I think like after watching one of the candidates almost get murdered on stage, and the story was like a 2-day story. Like, I don't know. I feel like we could have 10 other huge news cycles before this thing ends.
Well, very true. And the, you know, volatility will increase. Everything will just expand. So yeah, I'm kind of with you on that too.
Where are you on this race right now? When you look at this and you say, okay, Harris had, you know, Trump was way ahead, gets Biden to drop out. Harris comes in, she has this little boomlet, she's basically tied it, maybe took a little bit of a lead. What's your optimism level if you're a Trump fan right now?
One, I love the term boomlet, and I think that
Thank you. I thought I was the only one saying it.
And I'm obsessed with it, so keep it going in the cycle. I am just going to be one of those people, I have to believe that Donald Trump is going to win for the Western civilization's sake of society.
Yeah. Yes, okay.
So until then, my thinking is just going to be like, yes, it's going to happen, but everybody has to work their butts off to make sure that it happens. You can't be lazy going into this the last 8 weeks. You have to make sure voter turnout is going to be there. And any other thoughts in my mind just don't have any room right now.
Yeah. It's interesting. We were talking about this before we started, and it's kind of like it's in a way like a sporting event, right? Like this is the big, I think you said Trump tweeted. So what did he tweet?
The Trump War Room tweeted out, it's game day.
Yeah.
And they did it just like you would see a game day post with like the little TV icon and like where you can watch it tonight and all that. So it is. They're even billing it up as here, this is it. You have your teams. You're either red or you're blue. You will back your candidate. You will support them. And, you know, that is kind of what it feels like right now.
It does. So, you came up in the sports world, right? Like this is what you used to do. You're like looking at these two sides, strengths, weaknesses. When you look at this tail of the tape, what do you see?
When I look at what's actually going to happen tonight, I look at Kamala Harris. The last time she was on this stage was against Mike Pence, right? The fly was the story of the night.
That's right.
The last time that Kamala Harris was on stage. This is going to be entirely different for her. So I don't know. And again, they've been prepping for a week. They've been trying to get her ready. I don't know if you can ever actually prepare appropriately for what Donald Trump is going to do. Now, if you're Trump and you're his team, you want him to stay on message. That's when he's the best. And, you know, give people a little bit of the charisma factor, but still staying on message, because there are so many things happening in America right now with the immigration, the border, just the cat memes. I mean, you can't go anywhere without seeing the cat memes right now. And then the economy is the other big thing, right? So just hammering it home, these are the issues that actual Americans care about, and this is going to impact every single day of your life for the next 4 years. So what choice do you want to make? It's the Ronald Reagan question. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Yes or no. But Kamala Harris, I think the bar has been set so low for her that if she's just competent in this debate, then they're going to go, oh, well, she did what she needed to do. And that does have me a little concerned.
It does feel like her plan is survival.
Yes.
Right? She doesn't need to necessarily have some big knockout blow. She just needs to get through this thing and not give too many word salad answers. Just look mildly competent. Because there is this, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, there is this sort of like, there was an A-B thing that went on when you watched Trump versus Biden. And you saw a guy who pretty normal, like, you know, normal energy of a candidate versus this guy who was like seemingly dying in front of our eyes. Like it was like really upsetting in a way. It's not that dramatic here because Trump, of course, is a lot more coherent than Biden was. But he's a lot older than Harris. People are going to look at them. We're going to see Harris, who's very well spoken, you know, generally, like she doesn't, you know, stumble over her words a lot. And there is a risk, I think, for Trump, if he comes out and either he's angry or he doesn't have high energy, that she might be able to kind of just win this battle of appearances.
But I agree with you that the age thing could be a factor. But you know from being in television that when what Kamala is going to do is she's going to try to memorize everything.
Yes.
She can't go off script. Mm-hmm. That is very difficult to stick with for, what, 90 minutes mm-hmm. tonight? If she has everything memorized, but at some point, we're going to see her just lose her train of thought. And then Kamala comes out. Right. And yeah. you are Veep thoughts for days.
Yes.
You know better than anyone. Mm-hmm. And I think that, again, when you're trying to memorize things so hard and stick to your script.
Yeah,
that's difficult to do. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump just needs his talking points. He doesn't have things memorized. He doesn't care what sentence structure looks like. He's not caring about any of that. Mm-hmm. But Kamala is going to have things very, very buttoned up. And that's where I think that could be her biggest downfall.
Mm. I'm excited you're here because actually I can never use my detailed basketball analogies with anyone else. So let me drop one on you here. The media is trying to make her into Steph Curry. Like they want to make her into this generational, talented superstar.
San Francisco.
That can do anything.
It makes sense.
It makes sense, right? But what Kamala actually is, she's not like, you know, someone, you know, shooting air balls all over the place. She's more like Seth Curry. Steph's brother,
yes.
Right? Seth Curry's a...
So here for this.
Thank you. This is as detailed as I'll ever get on basketball, but on this particular show. But like Seth Curry is not the worst player in the league. He's a good rotational player. If you leave him open, he will hit open threes. That's Kamala Harris. If you don't put pressure on her and have her move off of her spots, she'll run off of a couple of media screens and hit wide open threes all day.
She's not your first option.
She's not your first option.
She's not your first option, Democrats.
Right. She's down the line.
She was not the one you wanted. She's the one that you're stuck with.
However, dude, if she winds up wide open in the corner, she's going to knock it down. You have to find a way to push her off those spots. And as Trump's job here, as a defense in this analogy, is to do something to make her uncomfortable, to push her off those spots. You can't give her these open shots. She's actually going to probably hit those. So figure out a way. This is, you know, this is on Trump here. He's going to have to figure out a way because the media is certainly not going to help and the moderators aren't going to help.
This is the best analogy that I've ever heard for this debate is Seth versus Steph
yes.
Curry. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, it is going to be on Donald Trump to keep his composure together. But just to he knows that he can jab her just as much as she's going to try to jab him.
Yeah.
And who can maintain their composure and knock down the big shots
yeah.
when they're in the spotlight? And I would give that edge to Donald Trump because he's done it so many times, right? The guy was on television for 17 years. He knows how to produce a good show. You look at the RNC versus the DNC. The RNC was so much more entertaining, even though the DNC has all of Hollywood in their back pockets.
Yeah. It's very, very true. It was actually fun to watch, but it seemed to go away almost immediately. We've got like a minute left. Let me give you one more sports analogy. I mean, where else am I going to do with these?
Yeah.
I can't give them to Glenn. He's not going to know what I'm talking about.
No idea.
In a way, I was thinking of this as far as I went to the other side, now to football, to think about Trump and like versus Harris. It's almost like a Brett Favre, which is like Donald Trump.
Yes.
He'll run around the backfield. He'll dodge 12 guys. He'll throw it downfield. Like, you're like, where is he going with this ball? And all of a sudden it lands in the guy's hands in the end zone.
It might be an interception. Mm-hmm. It might be a touchdown.
Right. Exactly.
We don't know sometimes.
No. I mean, to use a more current.
It's going to be entertaining, though. What you're watching the entire time that this play is unfolding, you're going to be on the edge of your seat.
It's true. And if you look at, like, even to use a more recent one from this weekend was Anthony Richardson, who was just like throwing 60-yard bomb. It was incredible. Kamala Harris is more like a Bo Nix, right? Like, he's going to throw 18 screen passes, and maybe it works, but she's never going to take a risk. She's going to do everything she can to keep it all bottled up, keep everything on script in the offense. She's never going to go out of structure. That is the type of candidate she is. And I think you're at that point where it really is like, can Trump figure out how to mold those things? I remember going to watch Brett Favre in a playoff game against the Eagles, and he just threw one up for grabs, and everyone's like, where is that going? And it lands, this is an overtime, lands right in the hands of the Eagles player. Eagles win the playoff game. Like, he can't have that moment. He can't be like, hey, Kamala, you don't look black to me. Like that can't occur in this format.
And we've already seen it happen.
Yeah, it's not good.
So it can't happen while she's standing there right next to him, because that is absolutely the moment, right? If it's the gender, the race, and these are all going to be issues that she is going to try to push to the forefront. So how does he respond? And can he be the 85 Bears? I don't think so. But can he just be something close?
Right, be decent. That's all you have to do. I mean, he should be able to beat her just by being decent. And I think that's... she's going to want that moment, though, right? She's going to want that feminist, how dare you? I'm a woman.
Well, that's why she's mad that the microphones are
muted.
Yes,
it's so true.
She tried to get it to where they would have both of their microphones up at the same time because she needs that to go against him. I'm talking. No, nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
You're going to be talking
half
the night.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be so frustrating. But it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to view it together, Jill. It's going to be fun. So the cover starts at 8 p.m. tonight, Blaze News tonight. It's going to be a great hour leading up to the debate. Then you'll see the whole debate. You won't need to go anywhere. You can watch it all on Blaze TV. And then afterward, we're going to have a post show where we'll go through everything that happened. And then after that, we're going to have coverage on YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica, where we'll be going late into the evening. Jill Savage, be sure to check her out on Blaze News tonight. Tonight, you can get a Blaze TV subscription, of course, at blazetv.com/debate. The code is debate, $40 off. This is your only time you're ever going to get that. So $40 off. Jump on board tonight. Jill, thanks so much.
It's the best sports analysis I've ever heard of the debate.
There you
go.
The best sports debate analysis. That's what you get on this program, and you'll get some more tonight. Thanks,
Perfect.
Jill.
Thanks.
So imagine for a moment you're about to make the biggest financial decision most people ever make in their entire lives. That's, you know, buying or selling a home. But what would it mean to not only have help, but have the best help available? Imagine what it could be like to not have to worry about whether you were going to be able to find the right contractors to do the repair work, the right photographer, the right mortgage company, the right everybody you'll need to make this not only a smooth process, but also a profitable one. Well, good news. You don't have to imagine it. You just go to realestateagentsitrust.com. Realestateagentsitrust.com will pair you with the best real estate agent in your area, no matter where you live, someone who knows the best practices, someone who knows the crazy housing market, someone you can actually, you know, trust. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home or both, please get in touch with them. You'll see what I mean. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. The name kind of says it all. It's a free service to you, though, so take advantage. Realestateagentsitrust.com. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. Well, in the middle of all this craziness with the debate, there is the story I did want to keep you updated on. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is set to testify publicly before a GOP-led House panel on Tuesday. That's today, right? Where he's expected to face questions over his handling of the pandemic during his time in office and COVID-era nursing home policy in the state. Again, he's been, quote unquote, held accountable by losing his gig as governor. But that was really more about the sexual abuse he was in the middle of committing seemingly every other day. He never really has been held responsible for what he did during COVID, which he was the worst. You can talk about everybody else involved in that saga. There's no governor that was worse than Andrew Cuomo. There were some that were close. It wasn't as big a blowout as sometimes I make it. Phil Murphy, really, really bad. Gretchen Whitmer, really, really bad. Timothy Walz, really, really bad. But Andrew Cuomo has a special place in my heart, and he really deserves to be held accountable. And now new reports are out that Andrew Cuomo personally edited the state report to hide nursing home COVID deaths, concludes that House panel. They're going to be asking him about this. So he knew it was looked bad for him. He directed his aides to go out and edit these reports and try to smooth this over, make it look like it wasn't as bad as it was. And if you don't remember how he did this, everyone else was like, okay, if you're in a nursing home and you get COVID and you die, it's a nursing home death. What he did was, if you get COVID in a nursing home, you're a nursing home resident, you get COVID in the nursing home, and then they're like, oh my gosh, this person's dying, let's run to the hospital. And they would run you to the hospital and they'd say, ah, that's a hospital death. Because they didn't want people to know how bad his policy had destroyed lives. I mean, he had destroyed thousands and thousands of lives. Thank God he's going to at least be questioned about this. I don't know if he'll ever be really held accountable, because that seems like more of an eternal thing. It's really the only way you can be held accountable for something like that. You get held accountable eternally. So we'll see if that happens. At least the earthly accountability happens. I'm pretty confident in the eternal one, but the earthly accountability hopefully happens very, very soon. He has to answer for at least these questions. That'll be something good. Last time he was questioned about this, he's blurted out things like, what does it matter if an extra 3,000 people died? Why did that matter to anyone? Such a doofus. By the way, Andrew Cuomo is awful.com. Still available right now. You can still get your Andrew Cuomo is awful.com mugs and accessories. Blaze TV tonight. Join us for the debate. We will see you then. Big night.